Charlotte is made up of a lot of different neighborhoods. We're taking you to a historic Black neighborhood and learning about its history and what it's up to now, coming up on FAQ City. Hey, it's Alexandra Watts. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of FAQ City, where we answer any questions you might have about the Charlotte region. We answer anything and everything about Charlotte, including this question from Shanda Herms. What happened to Greer Heights? Founded by a former slave, it was once a thriving neighborhood of working and middle-class Black families. So today, let's find out. And we're lucky. We can actually travel to Greer Heights, so come on, let's go. We're now in the Greer Heights neighborhood. There are some small Black street signs that say Greer Heights on them. There's a park and historic houses of different colors. So how did the neighborhood get here?
It actually started with Sam Billings.
That's Monika Rue, the Director of Library Services and Curation at Johnson C. Smith University. And she's talking about the neighborhood's founder, Sam Billings.
He was a former slave, and he bought about 100 acres of land in which four houses began to build Greer Heights. Greer Heights early on was what they called a town community, a farming community. And then that was around maybe 1890s.
Billings wanted to create a place where Black people could learn and thrive in their own community. In 1907, Billings and a few others bought more land, expanding the area. As the century progressed, the community grew. In 1927, the area got its school, the Billingsville School. The Billingsville School was a Rosenwald school. These schools were for Black students, primarily in the South, and were named after the philanthropist Julius Rosenwald and created in partnership with Booker T. Washington. They were partly funded by both the Rosenwald Fund and partly funded by the community, and over 5,000 of these schools were built.
Mecklenburg County actually had some of the most amount of Rosenwald schools that was built.
In Mecklenburg County, 26 of these schools were built. There have been efforts in recent years to preserve these buildings. The Billingsville School building actually still stands in Greer Heights today, but more on that later. The neighborhood itself, which was first called Greertown, was named after Arthur Samuel Greer, a funeral home director. Greer was a community leader who also helped the neighborhood grow. Over time, a diverse Black community emerged, with people from different socioeconomic levels and jobs. One period of growth was the mid-1940s. World War II had just ended and servicemen and women were coming back to the United States. Greer built around 100 homes for those returning from overseas. In the years to follow, more Black families moved in, including James Lee's. Lee was a longtime resident of Greer Heights in the 1960s and 1970s. And Lee says no matter how many people moved in, everyone was like a family.
Community, the leaders back then, because it was a family-oriented neighborhood, because it was like a core of families that put together, that came together, and then just exploded. I couldn't go over to my friend's house to do something bad and not get a whooping. And then, you know what I'm saying, when my mama got home.
Lee says that Greer Heights had its own grocery store and churches. He says people ventured out, but the neighborhood was a more sustainable community in years past.
All of our amenities were inside the community. But for the most part, we were born, we lived, we worshiped all together, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you went to school together.
But when Black students began to be bused into white neighborhoods and schools, Lee says his relationship with his community changed.
I was the one of the ones that was picked to be, you know, bused to the white schools, right? So I got affected because I got kind of disconnected from the community.
When you think about integration, when that happened, that's when busing took place. And of course, when that happens, when you go integrate into one school, then the other school is left unattended.
That's Monika Rue again. But in the 1970s, Greer Heights started to change.
When you think about the overall history of Greer Heights, you got to think about it in those terms. The early period when the community was very prominent, was very well known. And then you got to think about when all the other things came into play, like crime and drugs and things like that, that kind of gave that side of the community a negative view.
Rue is talking about a negative view of the community some hold. But she and others in the community are quick to say the neighborhood gets an unfair reputation. The population still tends to be majority African American. We're going to take a little break, but we'll be back in Greer Heights to answer the question, what is Greer Heights up to now? Stay tuned. Hi, FAQ City listeners. This is my second episode as host of this podcast, and I have learned so much by answering your questions. But I have a question for you. What are your questions for us? Is there something about the Queen City you've been wanting to know? Maybe where you can get the best soul food or the history of a certain building? Submit any questions you have to WFAE.org, and we'll do our best to find the answers on FAQ City. While you're at it, make sure to subscribe to the podcast for free on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or wherever you find podcasts so you can hear the next episode as soon as it's available. We look forward to answering your questions in future episodes, but now back to the show. Welcome back to FAQ City, where we're learning about Greer Heights. We left off at a turning point in the area's history. James Lee, who grew up in the neighborhood, left in the late 1970s to join the military. He was able to travel the world during this time, but he came back.
I graduated in 79. I was just getting prepared to leave my family, my friends, embarking on a new experience when I graduated. I kept up with things, but you know, I came back a couple times.
But he says that when he came back, he noticed some things had changed.
So, you know, how drugs began to come over to my neighborhood. You know, that was that time when crack was really starting to be prevalent. So when I got out in 86, some of the same drug activity was still there.
And people started to move out during this time, too.
I mean, a lot of my classmates had moved out. A lot of their families were still there. The community is really a bunch of renter families, but it's always been one of them transient communities. So we've always had like motion and demographics of it changing.
When Lee came back to the Charlotte area, he started to research his family history.
I used to spend hours down at the library in the Carolina room, just going through those microfilm and just like scrolling and scrolling and trying to find people. And then when I found my daddy on the census when he was 5 years old, oh my God, you would think that if you could see my spirit, then it would be like the 4th of July.
He also found out more about Greer Heights history.
So once I ran across Sam and I found out that he was the first African-American landowner in Mecklenburg County. And then once I began to learn about his life coming from Lancaster County, coming out of slavery when he was 17, and then 17 years later, here he is and buying property in the county when, you know, no black man should be buying nothing.
Lee is talking about Sam Billings, the founder of Greer Heights. He was inspired by past black leaders and how Greer Heights was formed, so he wanted to give back. Lee is part of the group Project 70 Forward, which advocates for people with disabilities in Charlotte. He is also passionate about economic mobility and is establishing his own nonprofit. Lee led a project for the group during the 2020 census when he encouraged communities to fill it out. He advocated for areas and neighborhoods that were at risk of being undercounted, like right here in Greer Heights. Lee organized a caravan of cars to drive throughout the neighborhood, honking horns and reminding people to take the census. Let's go back to the Billingsville School. Now it no longer functions as a traditional school, but the building still stands and is still serving the neighborhood as a community center.
Right now, since COVID has hit, we have completely turned the community center into a virtual learning hub. So daily, we host 40 students from 7 to 7:30 p.m. at night, just to ensure that our kids are supported academically throughout the school year and have access, and to ensure that we are a liaison with school administration and also just kind of a support system for families.
That's Tajay Robinson, who runs the community center. She wasn't born in Greer Heights, but went to school at Johnson C. Smith and began engaging with the community when she was a student. Robinson says the community remains resilient, even after all of these years and even during the COVID-19 pandemic.
This is a community that is very much so prideful and holds high to the standards of just being successful and just rallying around everyone just to make sure everybody is benefiting and kind of leaning in towards success in life.
The population has decreased over time, but many residents have been there for years, even generations. But the area has seen another recent development, gentrification. If you drive through Greer Heights, there is a good amount of construction, and among the historic buildings are new apartment complexes. Housing in Charlotte is expensive, but the land in Greer Heights is less expensive than in other areas, and because of that, houses are popping up.
I'm not mad about folks having an opportunity to live in a neighborhood where they can afford it.
Lee says he understands communities all around must grow and change, but he worries about the history of Greer Heights being forgotten.
Well, what I have a problem with is when folks come in and they feel like that it's their neighborhood, they don't have to get to know it. They buy a house and they say, this is my home now, which is great. But you are adding to a legacy that you really don't know. And a lot of times folks that they come over there, they don't want to be connected with us, you know, and that's kind of like a slap in the face.
But Lee and other residents are also looking toward the future. He's hoping that Greer Heights establishes more affordable housing and opportunities for economic mobility. Here's Robinson again.
I naturally think that this is going to continue to be a blossoming community. I feel like in 10 years, you're going to see this building alone really offer any and everything possible. I feel like within 10 years, we'll be in a place where through the services that we provide, that you'll see the realm of the individuals who are renting or placed in low-income homes or housing, should I say, being able to afford homes of their own and take on home ownership.
No matter what happens, Lee hopes the area maintains its familial vibe, no matter how many members come into or leave the area.
We need to continue to keep it going because they created a beautiful community.
It's time to say goodbye to Greer Heights and this episode. Thanks for coming along. But where should we go next? If you want to know more about other neighborhoods in Charlotte, ask us a question on wfae.org/FAQCity, and we might just answer it in an upcoming episode. Listen to more FAQ City episodes by subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts, the NPR One app, or wherever you get podcasts. While you're at it, go ahead and give us a rating or review in your favorite podcast app. And if you want to support this podcast even further, make a contribution in any amount to sustain WFAE's journalism today. Just hit the donate button on WFAE.org. It's been a fun car ride, listeners. Stay safe and take care. I'm Alexandra Watts.